the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto-related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
There were some nuggets of good news in last week's budget, one of them being an increase in the special discretionary allowance from 1 million to 2 million rand a year. That's money that you can ship abroad for investment, travel, education, and of course for crypto arbitrage. The last time this allowance was adjusted was in 2011, and government was criticized for not making any increases in that limit in 15 years. So this new 2 million rand a year is in addition to the 10 million rand a year foreign investment allowance, for which you need Reserve Bank approval and tax clearance from South Africa Revenue Services. The special discretionary allowance requires no permissions at all. But to help us understand what all this means and what opportunities there are, we're joined now by no stranger to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, Fadil Motti, CEO of fintech and payments company 88. Hi, Fadil. It's good to talk to you again. Lay this out for us. Explain whether this is a big deal or not. The fact that the special discretionary allowance has been increased, doubled from 1 million to 2 million rand a year.
Hey, Kieran. Thanks for having me on. I do think it's a meaningful change, especially for high net worth individuals and families with offshore exposure. The 1 million rand limit hadn't moved since 2011. And in real terms, after inflation and rand depreciation, it became relatively small. If you calculate, it's an odd $60,000. And now at 2 million rand becomes double that. So if you've got a child studying overseas, 1 million rand can disappear very quickly just on their tuition fees. Never mind the travel or other expenses that you now need to encounter. Doubling it to 2 million without needing a SARS tax clearance reduces the friction significantly. It gives people more flexibility and removes administrative headaches. That's where the real benefit lies, I would say.
All right. I get the sense that the vast majority of South Africans, this doesn't really matter to them. They don't even know that they're entitled to 2 million rand that they can use to ship abroad every year. And that's because they don't have 2 million rand to spare. It's a struggle for them just to pay the monthly bills. But the point is, you don't need to have 2 million rand in order to benefit from this, do you? You can do some interesting things with just a portion of this, say 100 or 200,000 rand. Maybe explain some of those options.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't need to use the full 2 million to benefit. Even 100,000 rand or 200,000 rand offshore can be useful. That could cover leisure travel, business trips, or partial offshore investments, or even diversifying into foreign money market funds. Some investors also stagger offshore exposure over time instead of moving everything at once. So having a higher limit simply gives you more optionality. You don't feel constrained. For many South Africans, I believe it's about flexibility rather than maxing out the allowance, should I say.
All right, now let's talk about crypto arbitrage. Thousands of South Africans got involved in crypto arbitrage in the last 7 or 8 years because they realized that you could buy Bitcoin or stablecoin overseas on an overseas exchange. You could then ship it back to South Africa and sell it for a profit, sometimes 3-4%. In fact, back in the day, you know, 8 years ago, 8, 9, 10, even 20%. It was a remarkable opportunity if you got in at that time. But if we look at the crypto arbitrage profit today, if you were to do that, buy Bitcoin abroad and then bring it back to South Africa, you're netting less than 1%. It's not terribly interesting for a lot of people. Do you think this increase in the special discretionary allowance to 2 million will make this profit margin drop even further?
I believe it will likely compress the premium further. A big part of the arbitrage spread historically came from friction, like limits and delays in moving the capital offshore and things like what we have, which are exchange control. When you double the readily available allowance and remove friction, so that's the 1 million to 2 million, which is readily available to you without having to apply to SARS for that additional allowance, more participants can deploy capital faster. In the short term, that increases supply and narrows the spread. However, over the longer term, once your additional allowances need to kick in and you need to apply to SARS, that can obviously have an adverse effect. So it also depends on the time of the year and when those allowances are being used for individuals. We've seen margins drop from around, as you said, 8, then 4%, then 3% years ago to below or sub 1% today. This adjustment could accelerate that trend, I would say so. And markets naturally become more efficient as access improves. So more access to your allowance, efficiency is the end result.
I mean, it has been pointed out that if you're making use of your foreign investment allowance, that's the 10 million allowance that you have. But for that, you need tax clearance. You increased what effectively is currently 11 million going up to 12 million. It's slightly less than a 10% increase if you take those two amounts together. Therefore, it may not be as big as we think it is. What do you think about that argument?
Yeah, I think that could be the case. However, if you do look at the way the market has adjusted over the years, it has become more operatable for many participants that can participate in the trade itself. And with more participants in, the spread naturally reduces. So again, you know, markets naturally become more efficient as access improves. And I think that depending on the time of the year and when those allowances are being used, it could have a very small impact on the spread as a whole. And then you have more participants coming in, and that could still have another effect on the spread as a whole. So not to say that the spread might reduce entirely and go to zero. I do think that in times of the year where these allowances are readily available to the traders, it could have an effect on the spread. And some participants may choose not to trade at all because it's just too low when you encounter fees.
Right. Now, there was a time in the past when people were predicting, and probably still are predicting, that the crypto arbitrage market would disappear altogether. But it hasn't. It's still with us. Even at these very low margins, people find, and there are companies, and I think you're one of them, that offer crypto arbitrage services. People are still interested, even, you know, at sort of 1% profits per trade. Is that still the case?
Yeah, definitely. When you compound that over the year and you consistently trade throughout the year and go up to your 11 million now, 12 million allowance, that could still be a very profitable trade. And considering the risk involved, which is a very low risk trade, I mean, the profit is locked in from the time a trade is booked, both the buy and the sell side on the offshore market and through the local banks is locked in. And that creates a very low risk environment for a reward that is somewhat higher than what the bank is giving you. What you see today, a money market account that the bank is giving you anywhere between 6.5% to 7%, where if you compound this trade over the year, taking into account your full allowance, this could give you anywhere between 13% to 15%, which is a significantly much better return than keeping your money in the bank. So yes, it is
right.
It's favorable.
And fairly low risk, of course, because as you say, you're locking in the profit from the moment that you execute the trade.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Now, so we've touched on crypto arbitrage and you mentioned people who maybe want to educate their kids abroad. So all of a sudden you've gone from having available $60,000 a year. You now have got $120,000 a year. What are some of the other uses this could be put to? One immediately thinks of travel, of course, but what else?
Well, what we commonly see on our desk, Kiran, is offshore investments, travel and accommodation, paying your kids' school fees abroad, supporting family members overseas, buying foreign property or putting down deposits for those foreign properties is what we've commonly seen. Purchasing foreign assets like shares or ETFs. So if you're a common trader on the stock market, and that's what your allowance can be used for, even funding offshore business expenses. So if you're growing globally and you're trying to expand your business, you may need to use some of your individual allowance to kick off that business and to get that company or that business going. So the business expenses that come out of that. It's really about capital mobility. It gives South Africans more freedom in how they allocate their money globally.
Right. Then there's the cost of shipping funds abroad, the actual cost of getting money out of the country through the banking system. It's usually about 2% to 3%. So, you know, if you are investing abroad and you straight away knocking off 2% to 3%, that reduces the compounding effect over time. And there's an interesting little trick that you can do to cut this down to about 1%, maybe even lower. And if you're a business, you can put that straight onto your bottom line. And if you're an individual, it means you've got more available for spending abroad or for investing abroad. So maybe just talk about how that works.
So traditional bank wire costs can range from 2 to 3% once you factor in the FX spreads and fees. Now there are more cost-efficient rails available through regulated fintech platforms like ourselves and others, which have significantly lower overheads than traditional banks, which have these large departments and heavy compliance fees and so forth. So when you take into consideration the fintech operationability, the technology that goes into it, the compliance efficiency and automation, including to some stance or some level AI, that can bring that closer to 1% and even lower, like you said. And that really has an effect on the FX spread compression, which is what we like to say. And then the adverse effect of that is settlement efficiency. So the turnaround time in settling these payments become a lot more quicker and more efficient. And that has an overall impact on the businesses or the individuals that we're servicing.
Yeah, I mean, I recently made a payment to somebody in the United States. It took 5 days for the money to arrive. And if you count the weekend, it was a full week. When we're talking about these new rails, which often involve stablecoins and crypto in the background, people don't even know that, and they don't need to know that. That can be done pretty much, what, instantly?
Yeah, that's instantly. But even so, through the traditional banks, like as a treasury outsource company, Kieran, we find ourselves operating with authorized dealers in a much more efficient way. So even through players like us as treasury outsource companies, those payment delays don't exist. The turnaround times are either same day value tomorrow or value next day, which is what we call spot, which is T+2. So depending on the time of the day that you book your deal, that too can be a lot more efficient. But when you take into consideration what we've seen with stablecoins, that's instant.
Right. Final question, Fadil. Your clients, now that they realize that they've got this extra 1 million rand a year special discretionary allowance, are they approaching you and are you finding more volumes going through, or do you expect more volumes to go through because of this?
So since the news has been pretty recent, Kieran, we haven't seen that come through as yet. We do anticipate it. Many of the participants, including the banks that we work with, were on the back foot about this allowance being doubled from 1 million to 2 million. So it's pretty new news in the market. So we are expecting a lot of the individuals that may use their allowances in the past or have already used them in the beginning of this year to come back to our desk to use the additional allowance they may have without applying to SARS. And that is what we're expecting. It does make it more available, and we'll have to see what the next weeks and months have to follow.
Right. And so we've had an increase in this, a doubling in the special discretionary allowance. Plus, we also have a stronger rand, which makes it a little bit more interesting for South Africans who want to transact abroad or travel abroad. So you expect to see a little bit more volume. And of course, this hasn't come into play yet. This is, they've got to table the changes, and they've got to implement it, and the banks have got to roll out the infrastructure. But this is something that you expect to see an increase in volumes pretty soon.
Yeah, hopefully. It would be great for any desk of our size and other players in the market to see that volume translating through. And we'll have to see what the next months have to hold. Hopefully the banks are prepared for the volume and are prepared from a compliance standpoint. We have been able to prepare ourselves from that perspective. And I guess we'll have to see, Kieran.
All right, Fadil Motti, CEO of 88. We're going to leave it there. Thanks very much for joining us, Fadil.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.